I want to start today with a number that, honestly, it scares the absolute living daylights out of logistics managers.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this one.
80,000.
Yep, there it is.
That is the current estimated shortage of truck drivers in America.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a staggering figure.
It is.
But here's the thing, and this is what kept me up reading our source material last night. That number is actually a little misleading.
Misleading how? Because the shortage feels pretty real when you're the one waiting on a delayed shipment.
It's misleading because the problem isn't just finding a driver. It's finding a driver who won't bankrupt your company.
Okay. I see.
We're diving into a guide from RSS Inc.
Mm-hmm.
That's Regional Supplemental Services. And it completely flipped my understanding of how the supply chain actually works.
Right.
Because usually when we think of staffing agencies, we think of these, you know, boring administrative middlemen, right?
Old warm body model. You need a pulse, they send a pulse.
Exactly. It feels very low stakes. But in the world of heavy freight, that model is, well, it's dead.
It had to die.
Today's mission is to unpack how truck driver staffing agencies have morphed into something else entirely.
Mm.
They aren't just recruiters. They're basically risk management firewalls.
That is a huge distinction. And frankly, if you are running a fleet and you still think of staffing as just headhunting, you are exposing yourself to massive liability.
Okay, so let's get into the gears of this. The source material from RSS lays it out pretty clearly. Why is staffing kind of a dirty word in some parts of the industry?
Well, historically, it was viewed as a desperate measure, you know, a last resort. If you used an agency, it meant your retention was bad or your culture was toxic.
It was a sign of failure.
A total sign of failure. But the industry has shifted because the world has shifted. We're seeing volatility that we've never seen before. Demand spikes overnight. A port gets backed up.
A pandemic hits.
Exactly. The old model of hire 50 guys and hope they stay for 20 years is just structurally too rigid.
It's too heavy. It can't pivot.
Way too heavy and too slow. So what RSS Inc. describes is a shift toward what they call a workforce buffer.
I highlighted that term in the notes, workforce buffer. It sounds so technical,
yeah.
But break it down for us. What does that actually look like on a Tuesday morning at a chaotic dispatch center?
Okay, so picture a mid-sized fleet. Let's say they move food products. Margins are razor thin. Monday morning rolls around, three drivers call out sick, and another two just quit to go work for a competitor.
Which happens constantly. Driver churn is legendary.
It is. So now you have five trucks sitting against the fence. We call that idle iron.
A parked truck is a money pit.
It's a money pit. It costs money insurance, depreciation, and it generates zero revenue. Plus, you're angering your customer because the lettuce isn't moving.
So the buffer is the ability to just snap your fingers and fill the seat.
That's the idea, yes. But here's where the staffing agency label gets tricky. If you call a generic temp agency, the kind that staffs receptionists, they might send you someone who has a CDL.
Right, a license.
But do they know how to back a 53-foot trailer into a tight dock in downtown Chicago during rush hour?
Or handle a reefer unit.
Ugh.
Or a tanker full of liquid that sloshes around.
Exactly. That's the danger. So specialized agencies like RSS Inc. function as an operational extension. They aren't scrambling to find someone on Craigslist when you call. They maintain a bench.
A bench, like in sports. You have the starters and you have the reserve.
Precisely. They have drivers who are already vetted, already on their payroll, ready to be deployed. So that fleet manager calls, and instead of a three-week hiring process, they have a driver in the seat in maybe 4 hours.
Wow.
That is operational continuity. It turns a crisis into a minor hiccup.
Okay, but I want to push back on this a bit.
Yeah.
Because speed usually comes at the cost of quality.
Mm.
I mean, if I'm a fleet manager, I'm terrified of putting a stranger in my $150,000 truck.
So you should be.
So how do you reconcile speed with the fact that this is a dangerous job?
Mm.
We're not talking about a temp messing up a spreadsheet.
That is the central tension of this whole deep dive. And this is where we need to get into the weeds of compliance.
Mm.
Because if you don't get the compliance right, nothing else matters.
Let's do it. The list of checks the source material mentions is... Well, there's an alphabet soup of acronyms.
It has to be. You have to understand the legal environment right now. We're living in the era of the nuclear verdict.
For those listening who aren't glued to legal journals, unpack nuclear verdict.
It's a lawsuit judgment against a trucking company that exceeds $10 million, and they are becoming way more common.
Wow.
If a driver causes a catastrophic accident, the lawyers don't just sue the driver, they sue the company for negligent hiring. They look at the file and say, you should have known this guy was a risk. Why did you give him the keys?
So if you hire a staffing agency and they send you a bad driver, Who gets sued?
We'll get to the liability split in a minute. It's fascinating. But this is why the vetting process is the actual product. It's not the driver. It's the vetting of the driver.
Okay, so walk me through what a specialized agency does that a generalist HR person might miss. I'm looking at this checklist. DQ files, PSP reports. What are these?
Let's decode it. A DQ file is a driver qualification file. It's a federally mandated dossier on the driver. A general firm might check, do you have a license? And is it valid?
The basics.
The bare minimum. A specialized firm goes much deeper. They pull the MVR motor vehicle record, and they're looking for patterns, not just current suspensions.
Patterns like what?
Well, maybe they haven't lost their license, but they have 3 speeding tickets in 2 years. That's a red flag. Then they pull the PSP, that's the pre-employment screening program from the FMCSA.
The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Correct. And the PSP is crucial. It shows roadside inspection data that doesn't always show up on a standard driving record.
So things a normal background check would miss.
Completely. Maybe the driver has never been in a crash, but he's been cited 5 times for logbook violations or bad tires.
It shows he's sloppy.
It shows he cuts corners. A generalist recruiter won't know how to read that report. They won't know that a form and manner violation is minor, but a false logs violation is a massive red flag.
I see. So the agency is basically doing forensic accounting on the driver's history.
And then you have the physical requirements, the DOT medical card, drug and alcohol testing, the clearinghouse checks. It is an absolute minefield. If a manager misses 1 expiration date on a medical card and that driver crashes, game over.
So when a company like RSS Inc. pitches themselves, they aren't selling drivers. They're selling compliance assurance.
Exactly. They are outsourcing the anxiety. They are saying, we have checked everything. This person is clean.
Let's pivot to the money, though, because this is where I get skeptical. These agencies have to make a profit. So if I pay a driver $25 an hour directly, an agency is probably charging me, what, $35, $40?
Depending on the market, sure. There is a markup.
So why would I do that? If margins are already so thin, why pay a premium for a temp? Is it just desperation?
No, it's actually a calculated financial decision. This is the hidden math part of the deep dive. You have to look at the total cost of ownership of that employee. When you pay a driver $25 an hour, that is not your cost.
You mean taxes and benefits and all that?
Taxes, benefits, sure. But the big one in trucking is workers' compensation. Trucking has one of the highest injury rates of any profession. Back injuries, slips and falls. Workers' comp premiums for fleets are astronomical.
And if I use an agency driver?
The agency is the employer of record, so they carry the workers' comp policy. They pay the unemployment insurance.
Wait, that's huge. Unemployment insurance can spike if you have high turnover, right?
Massive. And trucking has naturally high turnover. If you hire 10 guys for the Christmas rush and lay them off in January, your unemployment tax rate goes through the roof for the next few years.
It punishes you for laying people off.
It does. By using an agency for that seasonal surge, you shield your company's tax rating from that volatility.
So you are converting a fixed long-term liability into a variable short-term cost.
That's it exactly. Think of it like this. It's the difference between buying a vacation home and renting an Airbnb. The nightly rate on the Airbnb is higher, absolutely. But you aren't paying for the new roof 10 years down the line.
And you're not paying property taxes when you aren't using it.
Right. There's another term the source mentioned that fits here. Idle payroll. That's paying people when there isn't work. If you have 50 full-time drivers but only enough freight for 40 this week, you have a problem.
You're either paying 10 guys to sit at home,
or you're sending them home with no pay and they'll just quit.
Yeah.
Which creates a death spiral. If they don't get miles, they quit. If they quit, you can't take freight when it comes back.
Vicious cycle.
The agency model lets you flex. You keep a core team, your Navy SEALs, and you use the agency for inventory support when the battle heats up. You only pay when the wheels are turning.
That makes sense financially. It's agility. But let's go back to that liability question, because I feel like there's a gotcha here. You said the agency is the employer of record. They handle the W-2s.
Correct.
But the driver is in my truck with my logo under my DOT authority. If he hits a school bus, I can't just point at the agency and say, not my problem.
No, you absolutely cannot. And this is a nuance that trips people up. In the eyes of the DOT, the motor carrier, that's the fleet, is responsible for the safety of the operation. You can't outsource your DOT safety rating.
So it's a shared risk.
It's a complex web. The agency takes the employment risk. So if the driver sues for wrongful termination or a pay issue, that's the agency's headache. But the fleet retains the operational risk.
However,
and this is key, if the agency can prove they vetted that driver according to every federal standard, it builds a massive legal defense for the fleet.
It proves due diligence.
Exactly. If you hired a guy off the street in a panic and missed a drug test, that's gross negligence. That gets you the nuclear verdict. But if you hired a reputable agency and they provided a documented clean file, well, that's just an accident. It's not a systemic failure. That distinction saves companies in court.
This really underscores why who you partner with matters so much. The source material warns against using generalist staffing firms.
We touched on this, but can we dig into that local versus national debate? Sure. You'd think the biggest national chain with the Super Bowl ads would be the best bet, right? Biggest database.
That's the logical assumption. Walmart beats the corner store on volume.
In trucking staffing, it's often the opposite. The source argues that regional expertise beats national branding.
Why is that?
It's about geography and relationships. Trucking is hyper-local. A driver who lives in North Jersey and is used to port work has a completely different skill set than an over-the-road driver from Nebraska.
And a national recruiter at a call center in Arizona might not know that.
They definitely won't know that getting into the port of Newark requires a TWIC card, a transportation worker identification credential, and a specific kind of patience for waiting in line for 6 hours.
Right.
A local agency knows the drivers personally. They know Mike hates driving into the city, so don't send him to Brooklyn. But Steve loves the overtime, so send him.
That soft knowledge prevents the no-show.
The no-show is the fleet killer. You plan the route, the truck is loaded, the customer is waiting, and the driver just ghosts you. Local agencies usually have lower no-show rates because the drivers have a personal relationship with the recruiters. They aren't just an ID number in a cloud database.
The RSS guide talks about this standby candidate pipeline. It sounds like they are constantly recruiting, even when they don't have open orders.
They have to. That's their inventory. A fleet recruits when they have an opening. A staffing agency recruits 247-365. They are constantly interviewing and building files so that when the phone rings, they have a ready-to-work list.
Let's talk about the temp to hire model.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where the real value is for companies who aren't just looking for a seasonal fix. It's like a probationary period on steroids.
It is the smartest way to hire in this environment. Hiring is so expensive. Onboarding a new driver, training, uniforms, it costs thousands. And if they quit in 2 weeks, you just burn that money.
Or if they turn out to be a bad cultural fit.
Right. Cultural fit is huge. Do they get along with dispatch? Do they take care of the equipment? You can't tell that from an interview. The temp to hire model lets you date before you marry.
I love that analogy.
It fits. You bring them on through the agency. They drive your trucks for 90 days. If they're great, you buy out the contract and hire them permanently. If they aren't, you just end the assignment. No hard feelings. No unemployment claim.
It's almost like the agency is an extended HR department that just filters out all the noise for you.
That's a great way to put it. They are a filter. They catch the debris before it gets into your engine.
I want to touch on technology before we wrap up, because the image of trucking is still very paper heavy. Clipboards, carbon copy.
Right.
Is that changing?
Drastically. The vetting process we talked about, that used to take weeks. Faxing requests, waiting for mail. Mm-hmm. Now, top-tier agencies use digital onboarding platforms.
So it's instantaneous.
Near instantaneous. There are databases like the Clearinghouse for drug violations that are digital. Digital signatures for documents. This means an agency can get a driver road legal in a fraction of the time. Speed is a huge competitive advantage.
So if we zoom out and look at the big picture, the supply chain is getting more complex. Just-in-time delivery means zero room for error.
Mm-hmm.
And the driver pool is, well, it's shrinking.
And aging. The average age of a truck driver is hovering around 50. We're facing a demographic cliff. Young people are not flocking to this industry.
Right. So truck driver staffing agencies aren't just a convenience anymore. They're a structural necessity. They're the liquidity in the market.
They are the gears that allow the machine to shift steeds. Without them, you have a rigid system that just breaks. With them, you have flexibility. You have that buffer. And in this economy, that buffer is everything.
It's interesting. We started this talking about passing trucks on the highway. And I think the takeaway is that the stability of those trucks, the fact that the grocery store has food, relies on this invisible layer of coordination we never see.
It absolutely does. It relies on someone, somewhere, managing the chaos of compliance and availability so the wheels keep turning.
So, next time you see a semi-truck, take a look at the cab. The person behind the wheel might be a 20-year veteran of that company. Or they might be a highly vetted professional parachuted in by an agency like RSS Inc. to save the day because demand spiked overnight.
And as long as that truck is moving safely, the economy keeps humming.
That's the goal. A fascinating look at the plumbing of the logistics world. Thanks for breaking it down with me.
Always a pleasure.
And to our listener, drive safe out there. We'll see you on the next Deep Dive.